Welcome back to another episode of Toys on Tap. This week is Pope Toys coming on. He's incredible at making toys. And yes, you can pick up his figures at DesignerCon at the Toys on Tap booth that I will be sharing with Eddie and Naya. I'm so pumped. This is the first year boothing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm pumped to see everyone there. If you want to support Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. Helps others find Toys on Tap. And if you want to jump on and support us even more, patreon.com/toysontap. That's where you can get extra goodies that are there and support the show. And we've got so many toys in production coming out that we're so excited. You will be able to see them as they arrive and see them at DesignerCon. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. Hey, sounds great.
Okay, cool. No, these headphones have been they've been acting up a little bit. One microphone is toast on them. Yeah. It's like the default mic, so I have to just use this one ear.
Yeah.
It's fully charged. It should last the duration of the call, I would assume.
Sick. Dude, I'm pumped that you're here. Obviously on the list of people that I had to get to. The resin scene. Absolutely love it. We're going to start this out like we start every interview. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Okay, my name is Christian, and I am Pope Toys. That's it. I make resin toys when I'm not working or chasing a 2.5-year-old around the house.
Yeah. I think I have one of your toys, actually.
Yeah.
The chain and the ball.
Yeah, I tricked you into taking one a while back. I sent you a Street Sharks and then snuck one of my own in there.
That's right. Sad thing, I've gotten rid of all my Street Sharks.
Hey, I think you mentioned that on that YouTube show to get yourself some bootlegs, right?
Yeah. I mean,
nothing wrong with that.
I know. It was a trade and it took so many Street Sharks to get just two of those.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that means if nothing else, that Street Shark probably landed in the hands of somebody who wanted it. So I think that's great.
Yeah. So pumped about it. Usually we start out with like childhood and stuff, and we're going to get there.
Sure. Yeah.
Tell me what you're collecting right now. What is something you're seeing in the toy scene that you are pumped about?
I have a little collection of some indie toy makers. I've got a couple Titty Beans. Do you know Squatch Breath? Have you ever heard mm-hmm. of him? Yeah, I got a couple pieces from him. We did like a trade. That's how I've gotten a fair amount of my stuff, is just through trades. When we don't need to get money involved, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Ordinary Toys was the first one I ever got. Ordinary Celestitron.
Yep.
He's great. I don't know. There's two here. So actually, and funny enough, like getting ready for the episode, I was listening to some of your older episodes, and Ordinary was one that I listened to.
Yeah.
And I remember at the end of the show, he talks to you and he's like, oh, you asked him about Etsy or whatever. And he mentioned that he had one Celestitron left in the shop in his Etsy. And then when I bought this, it was the last one in the shop. So this is your second time seeing this toy. So that's kind of fun.
There we go. And honestly, that is the coolest part about Toys on Tap sometimes. Like, people get notified about toys they didn't know exist, or they buy the last toy that we just talked about. I love when that happens.
Yeah. And he's a super nice dude too. Like, he's awesome. Definitely an inspiration. And another one, I don't know if I've seen you in his comment section or anything, but do you know Camobot Commander?
Camobot Commander. Okay. I'm going to look him up right now, 'cause that name doesn't ring a bell at all.
This is one of his here. If I know that, like, audio medium, whatever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got gold foil in it. Star Wars mini ship smashed onto a Chat May figure body. His stuff's great. You should check him out if you haven't already.
Camo Bot Commando.
Commander. Yeah.
Commander.
Yeah. I don't remember his real name, but his.
I see him. I don't think I've interacted with him.
Okay, great.
Now we're doing.
Well, there's one for you.
Yeah, holy moly. That's rad. That, I mean, the resin scene, the interesting thing is, like, once Toys on Tap started, only resin. And then I realized, oh, there's so many toys out there. What do I want to talk about? And it just, it opened up a door that I can never close again.
No, Pandora's box, right?
Yeah, and I keep digging further and further into it, and it just gets worse and worse, and I love it. I love every bit of it, dude.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I didn't expect to. I know you've mentioned a few times, like in your earlier episodes, stuff. You're like, "Oh, I'm not a collector," and then all of a sudden, it was like, "Yeah, I've started collecting," and like it started to grow from there.
Oh, it's chaos.
And I was the same.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave. Go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys.
We talk about old toys.
And new toys.
And toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
I'm all right with that. So, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who knows?
You got to check it out.
Toy Rats. Toy Rats. YouTube.
Bye.
Not the same way. Like I still have a lot of my childhood stuff. And I did collect I graduated high school in 2004. So even then I was like I'd go to like Toys R Us and get like that current at the time era of like Ninja Turtle toys every now and then, like using my paychecks to like buy a Ninja Turtle every couple weeks and like that kind of stuff. But I never like stopped, but I stopped.
It slowed down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take me back to childhood. You're only 5 years older than me. So that kind of puts you in the same realm of coolness. Which
born 80s, in the 80s.
Yeah.
Grew up in the 90s.
Yeah. Tell me about those toys you had. If you did what the rest of us did and just slammed them together and the shows and cartoons you're watching, the sugary cereal. Tell me, just give me Pope toys as a child.
Pope. He was an adorable little boy, and he loved his Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. That was a big part of the collection for sure when I was a kid. Loved Ninja Turtles, loved Ghostbusters. I had a few He-Man figures, I used to have the Voltron, like the full Voltron, like I think he was like
the metal
13.
One.
He wasn't metal. He was plastic, but he had a lot of that like metal coated bits on him. But he was not die cast. And he had the little like it seemed like 3-7-5 scale figures that would like go into the cats. And and I did lose those and like the He-Man stuff to a yard sale. But like I was cool with that. I was like at that time, I think I was probably 10 or something definitely older than 10. But I definitely didn't let the Ninja Turtles or the Ghostbusters go. And then, and even all through the later years, I would, if I went to a yard sale and saw a Ninja Turtle they didn't have, I'd grab that and that kind of stuff. So, but,
of course,
yeah, just Ninja Turtle Ghostbuster kid.
Yeah. You know, I can't remember. My fan is like powering up and on and all kinds of weird crap right now. Holy jeez.
Is it hot up there?
Because I have to close in the studio when I record and I can't have windows, it gets a little warm. It's not terrible. It's like 70 degrees. Yeah. What's great, and maybe you're the same. I would find Ninja Turtles and stuff at yard sales, and I never had a lot of them. I only had the weird ones of the figures that kind of stuck out to me. So there was like this mermaid guy that stood on his fin, and he was a weird looking guy.
Never had that one. He's a weird one for sure.
Yeah, and there was one. I mean, I loved, what are the two evil guys? Bebop and
Rocksteady.
Yeah, had them of course because they were weird looking, And any of the turtles that looked crazy, like there was one that had a pull, a zip thing that pulled, and they would say something out of their shell.
Yeah, yeah. They had the big, like, sewer caps on the back of their shell.
But if you didn't have that, like, I didn't have the zip thing. So I just had the turtle. So I had no clue what it did.
Yeah, they are weird. They are a weird toy if you don't have that little zip talker, whatever it is.
Yeah. And I remember just picking up the weirdest ones I saw. And I mean, that's how I got invested in weird toys when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. You get rid of the toys, you lose all of them to yard sales or whatever that is. What's the first thing that you kind of get into then? Like, what are you shifting to before art inevitably kind of just spills into your life?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I, you know, the toys got boxed up, put away. We lost a couple to a yard sale, but that wasn't anything too major. You know, in high school and stuff, I started to get into music a bit. I played bass for a while with some really good friends. Shout out to Matt. He's probably going to hear this. We've stayed close ever like since high school, we're still really good buddies. But yeah, I did music, for a little while. And then, I mean, I still, every now and then I'll pick up a guitar, but it's not a, I'm not trying to record anything. I'm not a rock star. That's fine. But, and then I started, as far as like, art goes, I started making stencils a lot, like spray paint stencils. Mm-hmm. Never on like, you know, I wasn't a vandal. I wouldn't vandalize a building. Oh. I would do them on canvases and that kind of stuff. And you know, that's something too. Like, you know, a lot of people who do this stuff are artistically, you know, they have a lot of artistic strengths. They can draw and painting and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't really, I was okay as a kid in high school and stuff, but like when I was really little, I used to trace a lot. And I feel like that's, like, and now with kit bashing, I'm like, I'm still kind of tracing, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not drawing, I'm not sculpting the figure. I've taken somebody else's toy and I'll cut it and smash it together. So I'm like, it's still, I don't know. It's like a using somebody else's work to just do something new and creative. So instead of tracing, now I'm just like stealing toy shapes and
making it's new ones. The first iteration of AI theft is bootleg toys, right? Like, can't get away from it. I mean, you do the band stuff and you kind of do you, are you doing art in high school as well? Like art classes, that kind of stuff with the stenciling. And then you say, you know, vandalizing. What else do you do with stencils? How's that crazy?
Well, I was skateboarder at the time. I started skateboarding. When I was like 13, 14 years old. And so I would like decorate my boards. Like I would stencil on top of the grip tape so that you had something to look at when you look down, not just a black sheet of sandpaper.
Okay.
So I would do that. But I would do, I did paper. And then, you know, you could frame it, but I don't think most of those are still surviving today. But, and I did a few canvases, just like dollar store canvases, like nothing crazy, nothing expensive, nothing valuable.
Yeah.
But just a couple layers, couple colors. But that stuff all came a lot later. As far as in high school, I was a mediocre student who almost paid attention half of the time. And as far as art class went, I didn't hate it, but it wasn't what I wanted it to be. Like I struggled with it. I was like, I thought I loved art, but I hate this. What's going on? And it was, I don't think I enjoyed the medium. Mm-hmm. And I didn't enjoy mixing, you know, Elmer's glue thick paints and try to make them work. Mixing colors was hard. I remember that being a real struggle in high school, like matching a color. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that problem anymore now that I'm doing something I actually enjoy, I guess. But
yeah, like, I think there's something different about art class when they say something like, hey, draw this human eye versus go make a stencil.
Go do something you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care about
it. You know what? It's funny too. You know, in high school art, man, I think it was in like grade 11 or 12. And I think they did let us do whatever we wanted. And I made a paper mache Ninja Turtle. So I'm like, yeah, I made a toy.
Yeah, look how excited you got.
Yeah, it was fun. It looked like shit, but it was still kind of fun.
I think that's the crazy thing. When you go from hey, do this or draw this or do this stupid art project, to, hey, you can do whatever you want. The sky's the limit. You kind of open a door that is really hard to maintain.
Yeah.
And I think I wish that like more art teachers had more resources to do it. There's one, I was just on TikTok the other day, and this art teacher did the coolest project. Gave them, so it was like this styrofoam thing with popsicle sticks in it to make it look like a fence. And they had to paint and decorate the styrofoam and then do a tag on the fence.
Oh, cool.
Like, no better way to illustrate like a different side of art. It was incredible.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And especially if you're in an area where maybe that's a little more like of a predominant thing. Like, we don't see any of that where we're at. Like, my wife and I, we live here in the, you know, we're in the woods, man. Like, there's not even any buildings to tag. You know what I mean? Like, there's a grocery store and a gas station.
Your wife just catches you outside tagging your house.
yeah. That'd be it.
Yeah.
Or a tree in the backyard.
Yeah. That is crazy. So you get to that point. You get out of high school, you have some kind of art thing.
Yeah.
Are we headed to college with more art stuff? Are we not doing college and we're just kind of bottling up this creativity? What are we doing?
Yeah, I took a year off when I graduated. And then 10 years later went back.
Hey, that's a big year, but you did it.
It was a huge year. A lot happened in that 1 year, but I didn't pursue anything really like that. Like, it was always just a for fun thing. I never viewed it as something that could potentially be financial, lucrative, anything like it. It didn't make sense to put money into it. And again, like my high school art experience wasn't anything to write home about. So I kind of just wrote it off. But I always hung around with creative people, so I guess maybe that kept the little bit of spark twinkling in the back of my brain that just needed the right push to come to the surface, I guess.
Yeah. You take the 1 year gap year and come back to, I mean, go to college and stuff. Mm-hmm. When do toys creep back in?
That was my friend on it's not a long story.
I think you should tell the whole thing right here.
It could be.
Yeah.
No, it's not that convoluted. I had a really good, this same Matt person, my buddy Matt, and our other friend Joel, reached out to me and were like, "Hey man, you should play Dungeons and Dragons with us."
Okay.
And I was just like, "What, you nerds? What are you talking about?"
Some real
about?
Nerd shit, huh?
Yeah, you guys are playing Dungeons and Dragons. They're like, "Man, trust us. Like, you're going to enjoy it." And they're like, "You know, I played video games and stuff." They're like, "You like Skyrim? It's the same thing, but just with
it's
little
not.
Figures." And I was like, okay, it's no, it isn't. But Skyrim is just, Skyrim wants to be D&D, but they did. I mean, a video game is not D&D. Anyway. So we kind of agreed. My wife, Erin, and I were both, we were only dating at the time, but we were like, yeah, sure, let's do D&D. And this was 2018. And then they came over, we got together, we had way too much to drink, but also had a really good time using our imaginations and sitting at a table with like little stand-ins for figures. And that was the thing, is like, we were just using board game pieces that I pulled out of like my board game, you know, board games I had in the corner, whatever, the living room. I was like, oh, let's, here, these will be whatever. And we had a grid and we were playing the game, and I really did enjoy it. But I also did see this as kind of an opportunity to play with toys again. And so I started collecting miniatures to play Dungeons and Dragons. But those things are really expensive.
Yeah.
And so I started looking into alternatives, which was make it, paint it yourself style miniatures. Then I started kit bashing, learned about that. Bought a box of, they're called Hero Clicks. They're just like these weird little miniature, mostly superhero stuff. But through that, I was chopping up pieces and making my own little figures. And if you go back to my Instagram, like all the way to the bottom, that's what it was. It was me doing that. I didn't start posting any of the stuff till 2020. Mm-hmm. But I started it in, it was the summer of like 2018, right before my wife and I moved, up north, and, And that turned into sort of the hobby I had at the time. Like I couldn't, we were very north, like, you know, there wasn't a lot of paved roads or anything. It was cold. There was snow a lot of the time. Like, I don't know if you know where Nunavut is.
You're just speaking Chinese to me at this point.
It's Inuit. It's very, very far north. Like, you know, you could take a skidoo to the Arctic Center if you wanted to, where we,
what is it. A skidoo?
A snowmobile.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
That's a brand, the skidoo brand. But we lived up there for a while and that was really cool, but like that, and it was kind of an isolated place too. And I didn't know a lot of people. So it was just like, it was just me in this room with paint and little toys.
Yeah.
And then when our son was almost being, he was, you know, she was just about to pop.
Yeah.
And we came back to Nova Scotia, for parental leave to have the kid. And, that's when I started, you know, I discovered the Craftsman, and started looking into all this other stuff. You know, there was Craftsman and Ahimo Adventures, I think mm-hmm. is how you say his name.
Yeah.
When I found him, I was like, wow, like you can make, like people can make this. Like I couldn't, I didn't even know what I was looking at when I first saw it. Like it was crazy. And as like a, you know, a ninja, as a grown man who still had his Ninja Turtle toys in boxes now.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, whoa, that's so crazy. And the other one too was Death by Toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remembered this backtracks a bit. Sorry, I'm rambling, but
no, please keep going. But, this is sick.
But being at work one day, just on a work computer, and I was looking at who knows what, and I stumbled upon an article, and it talked about Death by Toys, and it was the same thing. It was those Ninja Turtle figures, and it was those horror. I don't know if you ever saw the horror movie mashup Turtles he made. This is way back.
Oh, like, you mean Ahimo?
No, I mean Death by Toys. Like,
man, this is, I like, did not see those.
Yeah, he posted it. Huh. He reposted on Instagram a little while ago as like, "Hey, happy Halloween, spooky season, whatever." I made this like years ago, and I was like, "Yeah," it kind of reminded me. I saw that at work, and we just kind of like, "Oh, like I remember the Universal Monster Turtles and stuff like that." I was like, "I can't believe that Playmates made these, like a Freddy Krueger, Donatello. What are we doing?" And then I learned that it wasn't official. But I don't think his was resin or anything. I think it was just like kit bashed and painted, the actual figures.
Insane.
But that kind of, you know, that woke a little something into me. And then seeing Ahimo like really blew my mind, but I was also like, man, like resin, that seems crazy. I don't want to work with all these chemicals and do all this. And I started looking into it a little bit, and I was like, no, too much work. And plus those figures are so big. But then I started finding the people doing this, like the Star Wars scale, the 375, and that seemed a little more obtainable. And again, Craftsman made videos of, you know, people, how to do it in a way that maybe you can have no pressure pot, whatever. Let's see if you, you know, and I did what I could without a pressure pot for a while. Yeah. I have one now. I still use like weird homemade stuff instead of the pressure pot, 'cause running a compressor is just such a pain in the ass. But
yeah. I have so many questions. So many questions.
Yeah,
we're going to start. No, we're going to start at the basic. Pardon my ignorance. Is Nova Scotia in Canada or his own place? It's in Canada.
No, it's a province. Yeah.
Okay. And it's on the far side on the East Coast.
East Coast.
Great.
Yeah.
Island?
Nope.
Okay. That shows you how much I actually know about my Canadian brothers. Zero. Right.
Yeah. I'm not big on geography either. It's all right.
Okay. You start making, you see Ahimo, which is an unfair thing to start with, because his figures are pristine.
Too good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of sparks it, and it's like, oh, we can do this. You find Craftsman and all that stuff. Being in a faraway place like that, how hard is it to get the resin? Also, tell me about the temperature issues of using resin in a place that's always cold.
Right. So I did when we were in Nunavut, I was not doing resin. Okay. I just want to clear that up. Because getting that there would have been like a nightmare. Like there was no, like you had to fly there and planes got stranded constantly with cargo on them. So even just like there would be the odd when I was living up there in Nunavut, I would order, you know, paint and just hope with every fiber of my being that the plane didn't get delayed. And then my paint froze in the plane overnight. Cause I don't know if you know this, but if paint freezes, it does not do well after that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It messes with, especially your primers. I've had issues with that before. If you've ever worked with old, really old primer, it's kind of the same as if it freezes, it just doesn't stick. It rubs off. It's thin or thick. Like it just messes with the chemistry. Weird. So I didn't do any resin stuff up there. The resin stuff really started in 2023 when my son was born. So leading up to him being born, we had this house with an unfinished basement. I would just go down there, you know, whenever, you know, my wife, she was tired and pregnant, so she'd go to bed. I'm like, well, I'm still kind of here, so I just go in the basement and just play around with that stuff for a while.
But
as far as Nova Scotia goes, like, yes, it does get cold here, but we still, you know, we got summer, we got winter, we got spring, okay, fall, all that stuff. Like,
yeah,
you know, I was wearing shorts today, so tomorrow I might not be because we're in that.
We just talked about the fact that you used to live near the Arctic Circle. Let's like, it is 60 to 70 degrees all year round where I live. So
that sounds amazing.
It is. And then we complain that it's hot when it hits like 88 degrees. We're like, oh, it's the end of the world. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. We just go to the ocean. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We work with Celsius here. I don't know what that translates to, but I'm sure that when you guys are saying it's hot, I would be dead.
So. It's like, I want to say it's like 34 degrees. Is that hot for you?
34 is pretty warm. Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere like between 34 and 40.
20. We keep the house around 2022.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's probably around like 68. So yeah. So like 34.
That's hot.
Yeah. We make fun of the UK because sometimes they're like, we've had record highs and it's like 85 degrees when there's there's places near us that get like 115, which is that's gotta be like 56 degrees Celsius, something crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild. So you're doing this. When do you, like, I'm always interested in the first toys that get made, right? So you are a known kit basher to make other things. So what are the first things that you're like grasping to like cut, dice, throw together and put in there?
Your first toy.
Yeah.
First toy. You know what? I have it right here.
Nice. We're going to describe it right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. If you go on my Instagram page, you'll see this there. And this is pre toys. This is just a kit bash. Not even a kit bash. This is just a repaint. It's Shy Guy.
Yeah.
As Jason Voorhees.
That's a cool piece.
And I do. Thank you. I do want to make these someday. I have another one of these that I didn't modify yet. And I want to actually chop him up, probably put his arm to his side because that seems like a bubble trap to me.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
It's just Shy Guy with, I drilled some holes in his mask, and then painted him up, weathered the mask and went with the green and gray, for part three, Friday the 13th. I'm a really big, horror movie fan.
Yeah.
But
are we like, but, are we talking like we like Frankenstein and that kind of stuff? Or like,
I don't go that
like
far
slasher.
Back.
Okay.
So a big slasher guy. Like I love Friday the 13th. Like,
okay.
Yeah. And like, you know, some of the nightmare, you know, horror movies are, you know, I tolerate a lot of bad acting.
You have to with all the blood.
Yeah, exactly. It's worth it. It's worth the wait.
My wife and I watch Scream. So
Scream's great.
Yeah, Scream 7 comes out next year, I think. Okay, and we're and we're pumped about that. But she watches all horror movies. If it gets to anything spiritual, I'm like, I'm good. I don't want to watch that. But everything else I'm fine with.
Man, the Exorcist is like the only movie that I haven't watched again because it truly did terrify me as a child.
Yeah, I don't want that. That's bad juju.
Well, it is kind of like, I don't know, like, kid, I found horror movies and I love them so much. Like, and I even like, I used to daydream about doing special effects. I thought that would be so cool, but like, I didn't pursue it because whatever. I decided to go into trades instead. Because I wanted to make money.
That was my favorite reaction. Just now you said I didn't pursue it because duh.
Yeah. I wanted to be able to afford to live.
Yeah.
So I didn't do that, but, So, you know, and maybe this is even kind of some of the creative outlet with that weird little dream I had in the back of my brain coming forward in toys and stuff now too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love horror movies. Yeah. I love scary movies and Nintendo too. Course. I was a big Nintendo kid growing up. I love Nintendo. I still have it. Still have all those games. Like, I tricked myself for a while saying like I wasn't a big collector, but like I have so many records. I have so many video games. I've stopped taking in a lot of new stuff because, you know, you only have so much space in a house.
Yeah.
And I also have a toddler now. So like I have to either baby proof the house or just hide everything. And where do you hide, you know, 100+ records? Like,
yeah, I can't ever get to collecting things like records. I can't let myself when it comes to toys, because we support indie artists, rarely is there like whole sets. So it's like, I don't have to try to collect everything, but with records and with like trading cards and that kind of stuff, my brain can't shut off I don't have a complete set yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but they had this weird bootleg you can get from Japan. Should I try to track that down? Yeah. It's only $700. Like, no, don't do that.
It's what I'm fighting right now with Ninja Turtle bootlegs.
Yeah.
Like I just bought some. It is chaos. This is a good confession moment. Let's just pretend that you are the therapist right now.
I'll be your pope. You can confess.
It is. Thank you. It is. Father, forgive me. It has been a lot of years since my last confession. It is chaos how much money I am like willing to spend on a toy that should have never existed.
Yeah.
And no one wants it. We don't have a pricing guide for Ninja Turtle bootlegs. We just know that they're hard to find. So then all of a sudden we like throw the price so high.
Yeah.
Unrealistic.
It's how many of those have you seen? Wow. It must be rare.
It's
$500.
One. Yeah. That's the crazy thing. I saw one. And I've never seen it before, never seen it anywhere else. And what made it worse is it came with a second something that I've also never seen.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You're going down a dark road for sure.
Yeah.
Like I don't, I have the Ninja Turtles that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And if I see one, I'll pick up a new one for cheap. Like I'm not chasing grails or anything. Like I'll never have a Scratch the Cat or any of the late ones. You know what? And actually, I don't have it in my hands yet, but my brother-in-law recently picked it up for me from a store, close to where I used to live. So I follow them on Instagram. Shout out to Giant Robot Comics.
Oh, yeah.
But he, they posted just a lot of Ninja Turtles a little while ago and they're like, hey, here's some turtles. Just got them in. And one of them standing in the back was actually a bootleg Donatello. And I just messaged him, was like, hey, how much is that guy in the back? And they were like $5. And I was like, yep. So I made him go get it for me. And I don't know that it's incredibly rare bootleg or anything. It's just,
something I don't even have like it yet. This kind of bootleg.
100%. That is the toy.
Look at that. This is what it looks like packaged.
Yeah. Turtle Fighters. Okay. Yeah. But he's, that looks blue to me right now, but he's purple.
Yeah.
But the belt looks identical. The green looks a little different, but yeah.
Could be this one.
There it is.
This one's the Korea one. That,
yeah, different belt. Does that Leo you have a Raphael belt on him? Does it have an R?
It has an Maybe. Indistinguishable mark.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
Yeah. But it's probably a Turtles fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are like everywhere. And like they're always unpackaged. And so we can find those everywhere. And then there's some that like I don't find anywhere. But that's crazy that that's the one.
I didn't think it was rare, but I was just kind of like, oh, a turtle. I've never seen a turtle's bootleg in the wild. Like other than like maybe when I was a kid and I wouldn't turn my nose up to that in a heartbeat.
Well, because they are painted. They're not painted to look ugly, but they always look ugly, which makes them look like the U.S. toy beaters that we, and so no one wants to carry them unless you know what they are.
Right. Yeah. No, the belt's a mess. Like it's all the yellow paint, just like that smeared all over the place. His teeth are just like dots on top of the teeth. Like,
That's it. That's the one. And when you get it, take a picture of the belt and send it over. I'm pretty sure it's an indistinguishable, like little lines or something. Perfect. That's wild. Yes.
First try. Like there was a pretty good chance you were going to grab the wrong toy. So good job.
Well, you described like, and I just went to the ones that you'd probably see in the wild, and that's the closest
Less rare,
one.
Yeah.
There's other ones you'll never see in the wild because they're only at like Mexico flea markets, and they are ugly, and I love them.
Sure. Good. Yeah. I actually have looked at the eBay, coming from Mexico. Like I've seen a Bebop floating around quite a bit, a lot of him, just weird colored heads, terrible paints. Like, but there is something, they got a charm.
If I had one next to me, I'd show you. But I have like, they only did so many. So they did April, Krang, Splinter, Bebop, the Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bat character. I don't know what.
Wingnut?
Probably. And then they did the crocodile or the alligator, whatever he is.
Leatherhead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones I've seen that exist.
Okay.
For some reason, they didn't really like stray past those. And if they did, they probably didn't do well. But yeah, they're all crazy looking. It's whatever's in the machine.
Yeah. I've also been looking into those turtle bootlegs that are the, what are they called? They're like Heroes of the World. Yeah. I bet you have some.
Yeah.
I love that.
They're ugly. They're and so like, ugly.
I know, but like, but also as a kit basher, like half the fun of seeing a kit bash toy is like finding the parts.
Yeah.
And the parts on those toys, they're ninja. Well, they're not even Ninja Turtles. They're like poorly sculpted turtles and splinter heads put on top of, they're those advanced Dungeons and Dragons toys from LJN.
Yeah. The turtle ones especially are weird because the way the shell sits, they couldn't put the arms on the side. So they come out of like right here
up to the front. Yeah.
Yeah. So they put them in and then gave them this kind of motion. So the arms just do this.
Yeah. They can pray.
Yeah. Praying turtles. That's what we need.
Yeah.
So you start making the toys and you make one that is crazy good for your first toy. Like to have that kind of a mashup. None of us really come out of the gate real crazy good. And that one, it hits all the marks. Like it's distinguishable with what it is. It's painted well. Like it's done. Like are the cool things about it.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. And I mean, the painting is like, you know, I've been doing that for a while. Like I think I made this guy, the shy guy. I was calling him and you know what? I made him. And I Googled it and like, I am not the first person to do a shy guy Friday the 13th mashup. Right. It's just too obvious.
Yeah.
And even as far as like, I was like, oh, cool. Like shy day the 13th. That's fun. And to Google that is like, yeah. 100 people have said that already. That's not a new joke, you idiot. But anyway, I don't care. I think it's funny.
Empire Blister.
Empire Blisters. specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now functional. Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10. Empire Blisters.
But yeah, no, it, as far as painting and stuff goes, I'm like, yeah, that was the one thing I was doing. And I, like, no joke, every day I would paint a miniature. Like, I tried to, and this stemmed from, like, back my fear of not being able to mix colors again. I tried to finish the miniature in a sitting. So I would sit down and I'd prime it and let it sit for a day. And the next day try to paint it start to finish, or at least get all of the color done. But if you're scared to match your colors again, you got to be real careful with the brush.
Yeah. Holy crap.
So I did try to get, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I tried to get very good at painting miniatures. So when I started painting bigger stuff, it was kind of taking the miniature techniques to the big stuff. It's kind of a different beast, but a lot of it is, like, it translates pretty well. And it, you know, I still try to get a toy done in, like, not a single sitting, but I'll do sections of it.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, like, even these are the guys I've been doing lately. The Grems here.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and I'm trying to keep these simple. Like, this is a translucent glow resin, which I've just painted some of the details on. I shouldn't touch it too much. I haven't done my I haven't sealed him yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this guy was two sittings, not counting priming, so three sittings really. You know, do a base coat on everything, then a dry brush and some washes on top. And again, it's all just miniature painting stuff that, you know.
Insane.
That's the, yeah, thanks.
That is the crazy thing. There's some of us that when we start making toys, we don't have any skill set. We like, right. Really, we were trying. I made a Ronald McDonald in carbonite when I first started and didn't even know that I needed to, like, seal or coat the resin. Cause I just kept spraying it and it was like, why isn't the paint sticking? I don't know. Do another layer. That's not how you do it. And I wish I could get
primers
all those...
pretty important.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I wish I would have picked up on early, but you did that. You kept making, that's probably like 2022 when you make Shy Guy
was, yeah, probably. Oh no. He would have been. Yeah, sure. Let's say 2020. I don't know. I don't have a date on them. If I went on Instagram, I could tell you, but I'm not really 100% on that. I didn't start posting on Instagram until 2020. So yeah, let's say 2022. That makes 2021, 22, somewhere in there.
And then you start like kicking in with all these other toy makers and finding that there's a community out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the community came, that was 2023 for sure. Like finding other people who do toys. Like, again, I just made that as a funny one little one-off thing. Then the resin stuff, again, it was watching Craftsman's videos and I was doing the, I don't know if you've seen all of his videos, but for
pretty damn,
like,
near
the
most
beginning,
of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. But for beginner people, he did a video a long time ago and it was to make a mold using, like, silicone caulking.
Oh yeah.
And cornstarch. And you just knead them together until you make like a Play-Doh. And you can press them in, let it cure. And then, so I did a two-part mold. That's what I first started doing. Two-part molds. And it was the figure I sent you was one of those that was done with that. Yeah. Man, it smelled so bad. The whole house would stink like vinegar because that silicone caulking just smells like vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was this guy, the I was calling him the cultist at the time.
Yeah.
But now I call him the they're called the servers. And I never got around to doing this figure again. I got to redo it. The mold is long gone. And I think I only couldn't have even been 10 of them.
It's rad.
Thank you.
The way that it
stands, proportions are off, but
okay. I mean, the way that it stands, like the things you see after doing Toys on Top for so long, you see toys.
Yeah.
Everyone makes toys or does whatever, but I've never seen a stance like that. And then the way that you did the chain and ball looked like you did the ball and then dipped the chain in it. So it, like, cured around it.
Super glue, but yeah, same idea.
And it like,
yeah, I just did a little. Thank you. Yeah. And actually the chain is cheating. The chain on, or the, not the chain, the ball, the ball is, it's a craft bead, a wooden bead with half beads glued to it.
So. Would have never guessed that. And what I love about that, like, I love religious toys that like take either something, like one of my favorite ones is right there. It's Frank Kozik's Let Us Pray.
With the money in the hand. Yeah, I've seen that before.
And anything that kind of resembles religion, I'm into.
Yeah, right, and that is supposed to be a religious censor.
Yeah.
I've got like a whole world building thing going on in my own brain. I haven't put it out because I'm not a writer. I'm not a wordsmith.
Okay.
But I've got a story for all these guys. And I don't know what to do with that. I think part of the fun is to maybe leave it pretty vague. And like, you know, if you see something, let it spark a thought in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was making these guys, and again, when I redo the mold, I'm going to add more kind of cyberpunky types, you know, sci-fi stuff to them. I want these guys to be a computer-based cult. Pre-AI is what they're after. They want the old tech.
Yeah.
So like, you know, floppy disks, VHS, cassette tapes, and their whole thing is just, they want the old info. They don't want the new AI tainted info.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make a social commentary against AI. I don't, whatever with all that.
You heard it here first, folks. Pope Toys hates AI.
It's not even, you know what? I recently just changed my logo on Instagram, but leading up to that skull logo that I have now, my logo was made by AI. I used AI to make my logo because I'm not, you know, I got enough hobbies. I don't want to learn how to like Photoshop and draw and, you know, whatever. But I managed to figure out how to make a skull with his teeth say Pope Toys in the middle of them. So
sweet. Do these, you find all these people in like 2023. Do you start doing shows? Do you start participating Instagram on like shows, any of that stuff? How are you kind of fitting in the community at large?
Mostly just bothering people, you know, talking to them, asking them how they do what they do.
Yeah.
Ask them if they want a street shark and then sneak one of my own toys in the box, you know, just that kind of stuff. I did participate in a show recently. It was the Robotic Galactic Graffiti Funk Tech.
What show is that?
That was put on by Kramsky. He goes by on Instagram. He is, oh no, can't forget this. His name is Kramsky. Tape Fiend is a different name he has, but that's not, what is he on Instagram? Oh, I feel terrible.
Is it Fiend Face?
The original Cash Brand.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He put this show on and it was graffiti and robots were the two things that kind of caught my eye.
Yeah.
And he does the magazine too. I don't know if you've seen that. It's
it's cool.
Resin Toys and Graffiti. But he did an online show in 2025, March 2025, and he put out a magazine with it too. A lot of awesome people were involved in this. And I actually just got he accidentally added me to the group chat. I wasn't even supposed to be involved. I didn't even know it was happening. And all of a sudden I was just in this group chat and I privately messaged him, was like, hey, I don't know if you meant to put me in this, but like, why not? If there's room, I'll join. He was like, oh yeah, cool. Like, you know, it was all pretty good.
Yeah.
So I just kind of fell into an online art show. The only reason I could even make it happen is because I was already making this garbage can robot.
Yeah. Which is so sick.
Thank you. And I wouldn't, I, this is all up on the Instagram if anybody's curious about it, but, or in the magazine, if you want to hit up the original Cash Brand and ask him to buy one. But yeah, so I did slaps and some graffiti stuff on the garbage can. And so that was just, like I said, the toy was already kind of pretty much made. And then I was like, well, I can make this work into it. So I just did that. And the slaps were just computer paper printed off. And then I used like Mod Podge to like stick the stickers on. So, you know, it's cool. And I know it'll last if you don't touch it, but there's no way I could ever let it go. For one, it's because it's my first show, so I got to keep that. But also, I just don't know how this will hold up to time. So I wouldn't feel good taking somebody's money about it. And then all the stickers.
You got to immortalize it forever.
Yeah.
Holy.
Encase it in resin so that it'll last.
But, yeah.
That's the only one I've done so far.
So walk me through what's kind of next for you. I mean, you have been in the scene now for 2 years, 3 years, mm-hmm. Making longer than that when you include minifigs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well, I don't know if we're supposed to talk about it, but you're boothing at DCon.
Boothing at DCon.
And that's what I'm working towards right now. Just trying to get a decent inventory for DCon is where I'm at right now.
Okay.
And beyond that,
are you sending me stuff to sell at DCon?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad there have been 4 or 5 people that once they said they want to do that, stop talking to me. Like it disappeared from their brain. Thanks for the reminder.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No. We should chat about it at some point and figure it out. I don't know how many figures is too many, but
how many you have?
That's usually not an op. Right now, one, four, eight. I might have about 10.
Okay. Send me 10 to 15.
Okay.
It'll make shipping easier that way.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. I don't know what I will do with the tariffs. I don't know how that's going to, cause I have to send them before they renegotiate everything in November. So I'm going to have to, right now, the way Canada works, shipping to the States is you have to prepay on all tariffs before it enters the country. Awesome. So I will have to pay up front and hope that every one of these sells, because I can't imagine getting a refund on a tariff.
Wait. Walk that back for me. You have to. Oh, there's Canada has also imposed tariffs.
No, this is America. Anything.
Why are you paying tariffs?
The way the post office is, I went and chatted with them about this. In the way that things coming into the States is right now. Is if I want to send, like, I mean, I have a feeling if it was like, yeah, I want to send this one toy, put it in a box and mail it. I think that would get through. Once we start getting bigger, I have a feeling it'll get flagged. But the tariffs must be paid before it hits the border or they will not accept it.
That is wild because everyone else that ships to me, I pay tariffs on the item once they arrive. That is crazy to hear.
I wonder if Donnie's double dipping or something.
Hell is that? That
but goon. Yeah, I don't. That's the way it is right now.
Okay.
And again, I don't like. I'm just going to try to probably price things to sell. Is kind of where I'm at with it.
Okay. Whatever it is, doesn't matter to me. You get all of it back. All the money goes straight back to you. I'm not keeping any of it. So,
well, and you know, and I also figured if there was some, I know that you already, you know, you've got limited shelf space, but if there's anything in the box that catches your eye, I please keep it. Let it be
all 15 figures.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
And then, I mean, what we could probably work out too is that I'll just keep them here and you just notify people that they're here. Cause then Toys Alive is here. We can, if you sell them, I'll just ship them out. Like that doesn't.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, or, you know, I don't want to be a nuisance to anybody either. I'm not going to put more work on your plate. I'm just fingers crossed they all sell. And again, that'll be, just try to sell send a reasonable amount of figures. I don't want my, I'm trying to keep confidence at a realistic level. It's like, yeah, let's send, you know, 10, like maybe 10.
Yeah.
I'll just, and again, I'm just going to see what I have.
Yeah.
When the time comes, which is probably going to be sooner rather than later. Cause if they get holed up, I want them to get there in time.
Heck yeah.
So,
with those things coming up, are there more shows that are online on Instagram that you're also a part of getting ready for right now?
No, not right now. Okay. There's nothing official. I haven't reached out to anybody right now. I'd like to do maybe a couple more shows, but again, I also need to not bite off more than I can chew. You know, like I have a full-time job. I have a 2.5-year-old. My time to work is pretty limited. Like, you know, I'm lucky if I get 3 hours in a night. And I do try to do this every night, like especially right now with Decon coming up. Like my wife and I, like we'll put the kid to bed and then me and my wife Erin will sit on the couch and watch TV for a bit. And then it's like, all right, yeah, it's bedtime. So I'll like tuck her in and be like, I'm gonna work on toys tonight. I'm going to sleep on the, I don't want to wake you up. I'll sleep on the couch. I don't, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm just trying to get everything done. I don't sleep anymore. That's where I'm at right now.
Welcome to the club.
Caffeine. Yeah, right? I think that's most people. Yeah. Yeah. Most people in the scene. Aside from Decon, I do want to do a drop, for October. I have a Halloween figure already kind of made. I need to redo his arms. I didn't like the way his arms turned out. But I can show you here. And again, it's already posted on Instagram, but it's the Tuscan Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a small drop of these, you know, for Halloween or close to Halloween or something like that. And I thought that'd be a fun thing to do a horror movie, Star Wars mashup. I've already got a bunch of them in my mind that I want to bring to life, but this is the first one that's been done.
Yeah.
And those are the two big things right now, Decon and Tusken Raider Chainsaw Massacre.
Heck yeah. Dude, the last part of every podcast, you get to plug away where people can find you, where they can find figures from you, all that stuff. Please plug that away.
Sure, yeah. You can find me on Instagram. That's really it right now. Pope.toys is the Instagram account. If you want to buy my stuff, go to Decon because that's most likely the next. If I get these Tuscans out on time, those will be the next thing. But
right.
The Decon will be the, that's what I'm working on right now. Everything I'm making is going to Decon with the exception of a few. Got a couple collectors who do reach out from time to time. So shout out Ryan and Mike because those guys have some good piles.
Yeah.
Building up here. That's it. Just Instagram. That's me.
Heck yeah. Dude, thanks for coming on Toys on Tap.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah. And thank you for everything that you do as well. I really appreciate the podcast. I've listened to every episode at least once.
Don't do that.
Oh, no, I know. I've heard you say that.
It comes when people say things like, oh, I listened to it on the road trip. Don't do that. That's too much.
Yeah. Oh, I'll listen to it at work. I don't make other people listen to it. I'm not going that far because people I work with are not interested in this.
They're not nerds like us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But no. Again, what you guys do, you and Toys Alive, it's just, you know, it's great. You guys really do help build the community and it's not unseen. And you've really helped me discover a lot of people. So hopefully a couple people can find me through this too. But
heck yeah.
Just nice to have a conversation with the guy I've been messaging with off and on for the last couple of years.